It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 1065. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed.
Fabulous Seafood Shed. On the hill at Spanish Fort.
Yep. I'm sitting here, you know.
You getting hungry already?
We were talking about all this and, you know, just talking and running our mouths and. I didn't even put my headset on yet. It's like, why is it quiet in here?
I know. I don't think he's got the. I don't think he's got the sound turned up on our earphones.
Yeah,
I'm going
No,
they don't. When he's laying on the dang table,
right. Something wrong. I don't know what it was.
Hey, you know, we didn't even have nothing to smoke or drink.
Yeah, yeah. That just tells you.
I think they call it capital A G E.
Right, right. That just tells you what kind of day I've had.
I imagine.
Anyway, if you have any questions, please give us a call. We're here to answer any of your questions on your cars. And have any comments or questions or, I don't know, whatever. It ain't got to be about your car. Just call in. And we'll see what we can do.
Well, hell, just call and say hi if you want to.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go. I'm sure we'll have some of those calling.
I'll bet you there's somebody out there that's listened to us over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are. But I hope everybody tries to stay cool this week. We're supposed to have, I think the next 3 days are supposed to be over 100 degrees. So I noticed I got in the vehicle today, and I think the inside or the outside temperature was reading 116 degrees,
woo-hoo,
which means it was because it was sitting in a asphalt parking lot, and all that heat generated. You know, once I got going down the road a little bit, I ended up finally just rolling the windows down, letting it get a little cool air in the vehicle before the air conditioner ever decided to start blowing cold. Because you air conditioners are designed to bring the temperature down probably 30 degrees from where
right.
You know, it is inside. Well, if it's 150 degrees inside, that 120 degree air is not going to feel very good. I had to cool the car off just a little bit before it would even take over. So, but looks like we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Yeah, this is Nick calling in for Tom.
Hey. Fabulous, Nick DeMario. Man, we missed
What's
you.
Happened?
We missed you last week. The king of hospitality himself showed up.
Oh.
Yeah, we won't go there. Anyway, tell us about how Sunday night, how'd it go last night?
Oh, man, I think you had a great watch party. I was at home, but I think you had a good turnout for sure.
Well, that's neat, man, to see that, you know, you got national TV coverage here of one of our people and Big Pete being involved in a national TV show, and they would have a watch party over at the waterfront. That had to be awesome, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's always great to highlight one of our brands. And, you know, we've actually been working on our upcoming fall schedule for all of our – every one of them have a little bit of a different story. I mean, this winter, we're offering what we call buyouts. If you have a big party and you want to buy out an entire restaurant, we will do that. We have an event space downtown at the Parc de Chaleur. And any of the restaurants, depending on the size of the party and the budget, you can buy out the whole restaurant for a night.
And draft your own menu.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, we whatever your budget is and whatever plan you want to do based on our menu, you can plan it out. We got some cool stuff. We're going to be doing Toro Bingo Night at Ed's. We're going to do, you know, we know the economy's tough right now, so Ed Seafood is going to turn up the notches and give back and do kids eat free on Wednesday night.
Really?
Kids eat free?
Yeah.
So we're going to, you know, jump that up for folks. And we just, every restaurant has something a little bit different. We're going to do the, some bar snacks for football at Edge, as well as the waterfront are pretty cool. So we got all kinds of stuff going on, getting ready for the wintertime throwing of the pigskin and holidays and all that good stuff.
And you're going to have, I'm sure you're going to have football watches, you know, on the weekends at all of the restaurants as well.
Yeah, waterfront, we're going to roll out brunch this winter there. That should be a great day on Sunday. And then, you know, on Saturday, of course, you've got Alabama, Auburn, South Alabama.
Right, right.
All day. Actually, at the food hall, we're actually renting that out as the event space on Saturday. Instead of just doing it at night, you can rent the food hall out, come watch your football games, and yeah, we got minimums 50, minimum maximum 100, and then just work with your budget to plan a party.
Mercy, mercy. All right, well, we're getting a real bad signal now, but I appreciate you calling us in and bringing us up to date, and we'll do something here Wednesday night.
All right, Tom. Have a great night.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. And I tell you, they've got that six or seven restaurants now.
Yeah.
And all of them kind of have a different menu, the types of food and everything that they have, but each one of them have great food in the foods
right.
that they're serving. They have really got the taste and all down, and the service is down good. Training all these people, they actually have some they have training classes in
yeah.
those restaurants, and they have a director of training. Got a master's degree in that, mm-hmm. and you know, they're really pushing that envelope.
Right, right.
So it's neat to see that, and it's neat to be part of it, and neat for them to work with us on our shows. And this show, as well as the Scuttlebutt Network radio show, Voice of Veterans for Veterans, and they have for, you know, for what, 10 years or so.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
And it's just awesome to see that come from one restaurant, you know, to a sandwich shop, and then, you know, some awesome places like Sunset Point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we pop up over here with the Squid Ink on Dolphin Street, which is an unbelievable place.
Yep.
And then we jump back over. We get a new Ed's, mm-hmm. Then we get a waterfront, and then now we've got the Park Latour, the original trailer park. the reason they did that is because that actual physical location was where the trailer park was in 1770. Did you get that number?
Yeah,
a trailer park in 1770. They used wagons.
Really?
Wagons, yes. Hey, he rented out the wagons to the guys, the sailors and stuff, and the guys that were working on the waterfront to have a place to sleep, you know? We didn't have no motels and hotels. Man,
that's
come
true.
On.
That's
you
true.
Know, not in 1770.
Had to have something to sleep on.
Yeah,
no
it
doubt.
Got so big that the guy had bought him another 10, 15, 20 wagons. And he just had him a big old trailer park.
There you go.
Park Latour.
Yep.
I can't say those big old words.
Oh,
I have trouble with regular English.
Exactly. But we got we got a couple callers. Let's
good.
See if we can get to at least one of them before our break here. We lost one. Caller, you with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what can we do for you tonight?
You guys were talking a few minutes ago about car air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 2015 Nissan Pathfinder. In 2021, the airflow will start out fine blowing through the vents.
Right.
Over a period of time of driving it, the airflow will reduce to absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I can turn off the AC button for a few minutes, turn it back on, the airflow will return.
Yep.
Now, let me say this. I parked it one day in my driveway, coming home from a grocery store somewhere. I happened to look back outside, and there was a piece of ice in the driveway below the car.
Yeah.
That tells me something is causing the system to freeze up.
Right.
After it thaws out, then the airflow will flow like it's supposed to. And it's like when it ices up again, it causes the airflow to block the airflow, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, what usually causes that is a low charge on the system. Actually, a low charge until it gets too low will actually blow cooler, but it will also cause it to freeze up. So it'll actually ice over the evaporator core, so there's nowhere for the air to go through the evaporator core. So,
well, what I failed to mention,
mm-hmm.
I've had five different people to look at it. I'm talking repair shops, people that specialize in vehicle air conditioning, and nobody seems to know what to do to fix it.
Yeah, I tell you what, hang on, and let us take our break here. And I'll get back to you as soon as we get back, okay?
All right.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Ramkel along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Well, we have our caller online that we were talking to about his AC freezing up. One of the things that, well, really, what causes it to freeze up is that it is either not cycling, which means that it's not turning the compressor off and letting the pressure drop back down, then go back and build back up again.
Right.
So you either have a cycling switch that's not working properly, and I'm not sure on your system whether it uses the cycling switch, a temp sensor on the evaporator core, or a variable displacement compressor. All three of them work a little different. I'm going to say, what year did you say it was?
2015.
15, yeah.
It's probably going to have an internal temp switch sensor on the evaporator, and for some reason it's not reading right. And you're probably going to have to, if you can get somebody that has the right scan equipment that can read it, I would be looking there first.
Okay.
To make sure that the where it's trying to control the pressure, it can actually sense the temperature of that evaporator core properly. Because, like I say, they have several different systems, and they all work a little bit different. The old system was a compressor that it was a fixed displacement, large compressor. You turn it on, it's running wide open. You turn it off, and it lets the pressures come back to where it can control and keep it from freezing. And it did that by using a low pressure switch that when you turn the compressor on and it starts cooling, it brings that low side pressure down. And when it gets down low enough, it would actually cycle that compressor off and let it warm back up just a little bit and then cycle back on.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Now, the last time I had this thing worked on to try to fix the issue,
mm-hmm.
they ripped the dash out of this thing to get to that part and replace it.
Yeah.
And it still didn't fix the problem.
Hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know.
It's frustrating on my part. You know, since this has been going on since 2021, I've had two dealerships look at it and three independent repair shops look at it that specialize in auto air. None of them know what to do to fix it.
Yeah.
I'm at the point it's paid for now.
Yeah.
I'm at the point I'm ready to get rid of it.
I understand. It's too hot out there not having air conditioning. It works right.
You got that right. But I was just calling you guys. Hopefully, maybe y'all can shed a little light on the situation.
Yeah.
Whatever,
You know, and does it do it just running around town, or do you have to get up on the interstate and run for
well,
just a little bit?
Yeah, well, around both, actually.
Yeah.
Or one shop I took it to, they just let it sit for about 4 to 5 minutes, and that's when it started, the airflow started
really?
Reducing down
yeah.
to nothing.
Huh.
So,
yeah.
But anyway, I appreciate your help, fellas.
All right, I appreciate you.
You guys have a good night.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too. And we have another caller. Caller, are you with us?
Hey, yes, sir. I'm here. Thank you. Enjoying your show.
Thank you.
Well, I hate to go with another air conditioning question, but
it's
mine
right.
will be short.
It's hot out.
Yes, it is. Well, I've got a 2005 GMC Canyon pickup truck,
mm-hmm.
And I don't use it a lot, so it's not a big concern with the AC. But I know I've probably got a leak, and my question is that I'm having to put that, what is it, R14, R13 coolant?
That's
you know?
The R134, yeah.
There you go. Thank you, that number.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it myself every now and then. I'll go in there and, you know, put it on there and do all the steps, and it'll cool, and it'll cool for a while, and then later on it'll start getting less cool, and I have to zap it a little bit more. So I guess my question is, I'm kind of, you know, don't want to put a lot of money into it because it's just kind of like a side truck for the yard, that kind of
right.
thing. But I don't know if I'm hurting it by doing that, not doing the right pressure. I know I heard you say high-low pressures and stuff. I'm just putting Freon in it, so I don't know if I'm,
right.
you know, making it worse down the road. What
well,
do you think?
You can actually cause some issues. There's a couple things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
One, if you overcharge it, or put too much refrigerant in it, it will actually overpressure the high side, and you can cause damage to the compressor or the hoses and lines on the system.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, if you have a leak, one of the things that kills a compressor in a vehicle is the lack of oil
right.
in the compressor.
Okay.
And, you know, we're talking these things typically hold, and I'm just throwing a number out there, about 4 ounces, maybe, four
mm-hmm.
or five. So it doesn't take a lot of oil loss to starve the compressor of its oil. So if you have a leak, usually there's going to be some oil loss there as well. And one of the things I would probably recommend you do if you want to, you know, try and tackle it yourself
mm-hmm.
is to get, next time you charge it, use a refrigerant that has a tracer dye in it.
Oh, okay.
When you charge it, you're putting a black, basically a dye in it that you can see with a black light.
Mm-hmm. Like a tracer bullet.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So, but,
I know your
and,
partner might like that.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I've seen one of those.
Yeah, yeah. So, they work. Hey,
go.
They work.
Yeah.
And we find most of our AC leaks with tracer dye because the cars nowadays, and that one did have it when it was built. Now, it may have leaked enough to where it doesn't have any tracer dye left in it. But
well,
now,
does it not cooling equal to that the refrigerant is leaking to? That's why? I mean, I can't really overcharge it if it's running out, right? That just means I'm putting more of the same thing in and it's just coming out somewhere.
Well, it's coming right? out, but yes, you can overcharge
up.
It.
You can burn up the pressure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can overcharge
okay.
it. Basically, okay. your pressures, you need to stop adding just as
okay.
soon as it starts cooling. You can actually look at the AC lines on a vehicle and watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's low, it'll be frosted over. And as you're putting refrigerant in it, it'll be frosty, and then all of a sudden you'll see it clear up and sweat. And
huh.
about that time is where you need to stop.
Right.
Because
right.
it's
okay.
got its correct
that's
amount.
That's old
it.
School.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. Good to know. Yeah, because I'm trying to keep it simple because, like I said, I don't use the truck hardly at all.
Should he buy some oil and maybe put a little oil in it, maybe an ounce or so?
Well, you would have to completely discharge it. unless you bought a injector.
Okay.
You would have to totally discharge it, open the system, put oil in it, and then seal it back off vacuum it down. And that's
equipment to do that, though.
Well, does anybody still do the piece parts? Like, hey, you just need a hose, or you just need a condenser, or do they just now go shotgun it? Because one time I had another vehicle service, and they wanted to gut everything. Like, they didn't want to have a manufacturer's warranty if they just replaced one piece of it. He said you got to replace the the different names to the system, but you got to replace this and this if you want to get your warranty. Does anybody still just fix whatever?
Yeah, especially if you have a leak, you know, they can go after that particular leak. But sometimes what you run into is, okay, say a compressor has failed, and when it fails, it usually sheds metal and puts metal through the system. Right. So then you end up needing to flush the system and change the expansion valve and change the compressor and possibly another filter in the system. So they're not going to want to charge you to put a compressor on it, not do all these other things, and then you're going to be mad because that new compressor dies because there was still oil run. I mean, still metal running.
Metal in it, right? Yeah.
I see. I got you. Okay. Yeah.
That's where you get involved in that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to see if I can get somebody to look at it. Thank you for your help.
Right. What part of town you in?
I'm currently in Stapleton, Alabama.
Oh, good country town there, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know nobody up there.
I can go anywhere. I drive in Mobile. In fact, the last guy I used with my other vehicle was over in West Mobile in Schillinger. Was that Auto Air of Alabama?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's Fadala Group over there.
Yeah.
Oh, they took care of the other vehicle.
Yeah. Hang on. I think we got to go to a break.
Yep. It's time.
We need to go to a break. Hang on. I'm going to give you a phone number off the air.
Okay. Sure. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Y'all hang on for just a minute, and we're going to let everybody hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Looks like we have another caller online. Caller, are you with us?
Hey.
Hey, good evening, guys. This is Paul.
Hey. Paul, Paul, okay.
What to do for you tonight?
I've got a 2017 F-150, and I've got an issue when it's cranking after it's been warm. Mm-hmm. So in the morning when I head to work, cranks right up just like it's supposed to. I sit in the office until about 11:30 or 12 o'clock, go to lunch. When I go out to start it, it takes 4 or 5 seconds to turn it over before it finally cranks over.
Yeah. Usually one of the first things I look at for that is a low fuel pressure situation, but I don't know on that one whether it has a return type system. The vehicles that have a non-return system, the fuel pressure is just deadheaded at the injectors, and it's controlled, by the instead of regulators, it's controlled by the computer and the pump speed. But the return type systems actually have a pressure regulator that lets the excess fuel return back to the tank. A lot of times what happens is the pump is not able to push enough fuel when it's hot, and that fuel will sit there and just sit in the in fuel rails and boil. It'll actually vaporize, and then it won't crank until finally it gets enough fuel pushed through it to where it kind of cools that rail down and makes it take off. The other, I'm just trying to think here. I don't know how long is it sitting after you get to work? Is it?
It sits about 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah. See, it should be cooling down enough to where that should not be an issue. But it cranks fine after it sits all night, though.
Yep. And then it cranks fine. If I sit for, 20 minutes, go grab something to eat, come back out, it cranks right back up.
Yeah.
So okay. It's when it sits for two or 3 hours or more.
Right. Yeah, that's, I don't know. That's a little strange. Kind of drawing a blank on what to go look at. I mean, I would have to look and see if we're getting enough fuel or spark, or I'd be a little suspicious of maybe a coolant sensor, whether it's actually reading the correct temperature of a partially warm motor, because sometimes a certain section of a coolant sensor will be skewed to where, if it's 60 degrees, it reads 60 no problem, but 150 degrees it doesn't read correctly, but when it gets back up to 200 degrees, it's reading right again. But other than that, I'd have to that's something you'd have to have hooked to a scanner and watch what's going on to see what's actually happening there.
What about the fuel pressure?
Well, and the fuel pressure normally is going to cause more problems when it sits for the short time after you shut it off.
Yeah,
when it's
that 20 minutes.
Yeah, that 20-30 minute deal would normally be
a bigger
problem. Yeah,
the 4 hours is throwing me off.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. So that's a little iffy on what's causing that then. One of the other things it could very easily be is a buildup in the intake track and on the back of the valves. We're having problems with carbon buildup in cylinders and, or not the cylinder, but in the intake track.
It's having to saturate that.
And the back of the intake valve. And what it'll do is that fuel going in will actually soak into that rather than go all the way into the cylinder.
Now you could.
Wouldn't hurt to run some seafoam through it.
Yeah, that's where I was going too.
Crank it, run it, bring the RPMs up, get someone to hold the RPMs up, and spray some seafoam straight through the throttle body. But do it, and don't let it shut it off. Just keep it.
Don't let it vaporize.
Keep it running, but keep it kind of smothered down some. And run the majority of a can through it, and then go ahead and run it down the road and blow it all out good. Make sure you get it up to temperature before you do it, and go out and blow it out well afterwards so it burns everything off of the catalytic converter and all that stuff. You can hurt a catalytic converter doing this if you don't go burn it off afterwards. If you burn it off afterwards, it should be fine.
Okay.
But that's the cheapest, most economical place to start, mm-hmm. and could be the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I would start and just see if that helps, without pulling the intake off and looking down in ports and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's probably your best bet to attempt that and to see what happens to it.
We found that to be true in the engine building part back in the day, where we would get an engine disassembled, and they could be as much as a half inch or more build up accumulation mm-hmm. of carbon on the back of the valves.
Yep.
And so then all of that's got to be saturated with fuel. and or the fuel's got to be totally cold, and that be dry before it would work. If you got some heat involved, then it takes like you do the 20-minute deal. It's still full. It hadn't evaporated out.
Right.
You know, so it's still working. But it's I think I'd run some cleaner injector cleaner through it, valve cleaner.
All right. Well, I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you. But we're talking about the carbon buildup and the intake port. I'll tell you, some of the ones that were extremely bad about it was the V8 BMW motors. They were having a lot of problems with it.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that.
Because they had actually reversed the flow of that motor, where pretty much every motor out there, the intake is on the upper end, facing the valley. If you have a V series motor, the intake, just like where a carburetor would be up top.
Okay.
So you have your fuel and air going in the motor up top. It gets burned, and then it exits through the exhaust manifolds, which are low and on the side. Well, their theory on it was they put the intakes on the side of the motor on the low point, and they put the turbo and exhaust system in the middle in the valley, and they actually kind of reversed the flow of the motor.
It
makes good power. I mean, it works great, but their one downfall was the windage from the crankcase and all that kind of stuff. The fuel, the oil vapors and everything, when it went back into the intake track and tried to go into the port, it would go to a low point, which was the intake manifold, the port, and the valve, and it would actually absolutely clog up the port.
It'd build up.
It would plug the port. So you got no air.
Holy cow. Well, you know, they find that out. It looks good when you're putting it on paper and you do a run it through a test block.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things, reasons that they have a maintenance department, service department, and all these dealerships, because as these things occur in the field, they have to come up with, recalls and changes and go back and fix them and send the word out to get recalls on them so that they can get them fixed.
Yeah.
And you only do that after you start putting thousands and thousands and thousands of miles on all that stuff.
Right. You know, and that's the thing is the manufacturer will design and build a motor, a car, or whatever, and they're going to say, okay, it's built, and this is what it does. And the test, they'll put it out there with a test crew, and they'll put 150,000 miles on it.
Right.
Well, they're out there, and they figured, well, you know, I'll run a little hard and just make sure to live under that kind of conditions. Well, when you're running it hard like that, you're actually blowing all that stuff through there.
Right. Yep.
Where if you were to slow it down and, you know, you got some, you know, little old lady running around that's never gets over 35 mile an hour.
Right. Yeah.
It never gets blown out.
It's going to accumulate.
It accumulates, and it makes it very, very hard to keep it going right.
Well, that's one of the reasons that that you see these cars that's got 15, 20 years old, and they've only got 28 and 30,000 miles on them.
Yeah.
And you're going like, oh, man, that's what I need to get that. It's not even out of warranty hardly, you know. But you can have all kind of problems with it.
Right. It can be an issue. I'd rather see one that was well-maintained.
Yeah, I'll take 100,000 miles, been on the interstate.
And run properly. So I saw we just missed a call, but if you want to call back, well, actually we're getting close to our break here. If you want to call us back after our break, we'll see what we can do for you. But, yep, I knew it was coming up. So, but if you want to, if you would, hang on and listen to our sponsors, and we will be back with the Car Doctor Show here in just a few minutes.
why my daddy didn't spend a little time at home. I said he'd run around the country that away.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we going to do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, some devil mind break. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta, and there's beer in Texas.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remick along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But anyway, I hope everybody is prepared for the hot weather. We're supposed to have several days of hot right here in a row, but I don't know if we got four and three callers, but we better get to answering. Let's see, we got our first one. You call, you with us?
Well, which one you going to?
I'm going to you.
Well, the new caller is coming in. It's getting hard to get in here and talk to y'all. Looks like all that advertising
got
I'm doing
tired
all is paying off.
They got tired of listening to you.
Well, you reckon that's what it is, Tom?
That's the whole thing, right there.
They keep it tied up, so
if they call in, they wouldn't have to listen to me and you talk.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe we can get us one of them daggum nappy awards next go round.
Get a nippy, not a nappy, but
yeah.
But it's been packed tonight, and I'm happy to see it.
Right.
Yep. Absolutely.
Boy. We all been talking about air conditioners. I don't know. I just got one question. How can I put an air conditioner on my lawnmower?
You got to buy a riding lawnmower, son.
You know, got to get a big enough lawnmower that has a cabin.
Right. Yeah. Get a cabin around it, you know. Get you this little trailer and haul behind it and put your one of them window units on it, some hoses run into your cabin, and have your little generator ride along there with you on that trailer.
Yep.
And just go ahead on, baby. Do it like Theodore.
Well, if y'all got more callers, I'm going to jump on off here and let y'all answer y'all's callers, and I'll call y'all back next week. Baby, it keeps up like this. I'm going to have to come down and sit in the studio.
Well, if it gets quiet, you call back, okay?
There you go.
All right. Y'all have a great night,
take
guys.
Care.
Super five.
Hoorah.
Thank you, Jaria. Let's see if we have another caller online. Caller?
Yes, sir.
What can we do for you?
I got a quick question for you. I've have recently purchased a 2012 Silverado with this. When I bought it, it only had 87,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm up in the 90s now, and I don't drive it a lot. I'm a truck driver, so I only drive it on the weekends.
Right.
And a little carport, Francis. And I was wondering about having changing the transmission fluid.
Right.
Some people say yes, some people say no. It has not had a life of pulling trailers or anything. Basically,
right.
It's just been a carport, for instance.
Right, right.
But, you know, I wanted to make sure it would be good, you know.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Well, you want to maintain it.
Buy.
You know, and that's the thing is okay, you're not having any problems with it, right?
No, sir.
Okay.
Whatsoever.
Because the first thing you get is the mistake you can make is changing the fluid because you think it's going to fix it. That usually kills them quicker.
You know? That'll kill them quicker.
Yes. But if everything's good and the fluid, you know, is just older, I have no problem with dropping a pan, changing the filter and the fluid and topping it back off and be good to go. Not a flush, just a...
Not a flush.
Right.
Okay.
Not a flush.
The filter. Okay.
Yeah. And that works really well. So, you know, it should not be a problem. And that is that the six-speed transmission in that one? Do you know?
I don't know. It's,
if you look at your...
Well, with a 350.
Yeah.
I say it's a 350.
It's a 5.3 probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The, if you look at the shift indicator on the dash, if it's a 6-speed, it'll have park, reverse, drive, and L. And you don't...
It's got manual.
Okay, when you get the manual, and then you have the buttons on the column or on the shifter.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah. that's the 6-speed. Because if it was 4-speed, it would actually have PRND 3-2-1 on the indicator.
No, so, don't have that.
Yeah, so that's going to be the 6-speed, which is a good transmission. Their only weak point was the torque converter, and they would give some shutter problems. But at this point, if you haven't had that problem, more than likely it's good to go. Yeah. I would just do a pan drop, you know, change filter and put fresh fluid in it and, put it back together. Yeah.
Keep rolling.
How many quarts of fluid do you think that that is? That?
For a pan drop, I think it's about five.
Five quarts. Okay. So they don't need to sell you, you know, 10 or 12 quarts, okay?
Yeah. I mean, I deal with so many.
You know what I mean? I was just going to throw that out there because I have seen that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
If you flush it, then you're taking everything out of it.
Yeah, and that's about 12 quarts.
Then you get about 12 quarts.
12 to 13 quarts.
At, $8, $9, $10 a quart, that's a pretty good lick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, something else, and I don't know if this is, should I, at this point, at 12 years old, should I change antifreeze, flush?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. If it hadn't been done, it's time. So you want to go ahead and flush it out, and, you know, you could just do a drain and fill, but do a drain, fill it with water, run it for just a minute, and drain it again. And then refill with your coolant and get the proper mix in.
Okay. 50-50 coolant now.
Yeah, yep. And
half and half.
Yep, yep.
You could actually buy it that way, but you could always put a gallon in and then put a gallon of water in it.
Gallon of water, and it's going to be a lot cheaper.
Right, it's going to be, and that's going to be close to being where you need to be.
Yeah. Well, what you get into is if you use that 50-50 mix, it's great for topping off a car.
Right.
But if you're gonna flush one and or change the fluid, you're better off with the straight mix, and put probably 2 gallons in and then top off with water because there's still going to be water in the system that you can't measure.
Okay,
can't measure.
Hey, he's the pro. He's been doing it for 77 years.
Yeah, but the
50-50. Keep on trucking, brother.
You. Yeah, the 50-50 mix is great.
All right, brother.
For certain periods, but.
I tell you, this truck, it's a new truck to me, but whenever I do buy one, I pay for it with cash. And
drive it till the wheels get square, son.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
I can't afford a new.
Hell no.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm on your page. Hold it between the ditches now.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
I appreciate you calling in. And it looks like we're running up towards the end of our show here. Yep, we are at the end of the show. And I do want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show and calling in tonight. It's always better when we have callers calling in.
I'm going to catch the ones that's on
and,
there.
And the other ones we'll try and get to before we get out of here tonight. But I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show, and we will be back next week.
And remember, guys, hero is not a four-letter word. Hoorah! About a pick-up man.